A number of years ago, I read a sermon by Robert Deffenbaugh, who is pastor at Community Bible Chapel in Richardson, Texas. It was about the account of the wise men, the Magi, that we find in Matthew chapter 2. And I revisited that message this week, and it stirred some thoughts in my mind that I think are worth pursuing as we wind up the Christmas season and we move into another year. So as is often the case, I cannot claim that everything this morning is original with me. I'm using Pastor Deffenbaugh's message as some seed material for what I want to challenge you with this morning. I also heard a preacher say many years ago, I milk many cows, but I churn my own butter. And I read a lot of stuff. I look at a lot of stuff, and sometimes I bring that in. But I hope that I have churned this sufficiently that it's my own this morning. Anyway, as we look at the account in Matthew chapter 2, there are three key people or groups of people that are involved. There's the wise men, there's Herod, and there's the general population of Jerusalem. And each of these responded to the message of the birth of the king in different ways. As we wind down this Christmas season for 2015 and look toward another year, I believe that this text has much to say to us about our response to the King of the Jews, the King who has come to be the Savior of the world. I would suggest to you that every one of us, in fact, everyone in the world, when faced with the truth about Jesus' birth, responds or will respond in one of these ways, these three ways. And how we respond has eternal implications. So what I want to do this morning is to consider and compare the response of the Magi, of Herod, and of the city of Jerusalem to the news of the coming of the king. And then we will look at the question of our response to his coming. So we begin with the wise men, the Magi, the zealous worship of the Magi. Now, as we think about the Magi and what we know about them, I believe that the first thing we need to do is pretty much push aside most of the stuff we think we know about the wise men. Most of our ideas regarding the wise men come from the pictures that we see on Christmas cards or nativity scenes or from Christmas carols rather than from the scriptures. We don't actually know how many there were. We don't know what their names were, even though there are names out there. We don't know how they traveled. We don't even know for sure where they were from. But we do know that they did not arrive the night Jesus was born. You see them by the stable with the shepherds in all kinds of Christmas scenes. We have that in a nativity scene in our home. But that's not the way it was. They did not visit the stable. We're also not told where they got their information about the birth of Jesus. So what do we know about them? We know that they had an interest in astronomy. They studied the stars and the constellations. Now that was not unusual in Babylon and Persia and other Eastern nations at that time, which is the general area where they came from. We know they came from the East. We also know that they had to have had some knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. It would be very unlikely that they would have come to the understanding or conclusion that they had regarding the birth of a king in Israel if they didn't know something about the Old Testament scriptures. Now, how they gained that knowledge, we're not sure. It is quite possible, and many believe, that some knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures had been carried down through the generations from the time of Daniel. Daniel and his friends who were taken to Babylon. And later it became the kingdom of Persia. And so somehow they had this understanding, they had this knowledge about the coming king of the Jews. Well, they arrived in Jerusalem sometime after the birth of Jesus. And Matthew begins his account at this point when they arrive. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east,'" or my translation actually says, "when it rose." That's the idea, when it came up in the east. "And we have come to worship him." One of the things to note here is that, contrary to what most of us have always thought, the wise men did not come to King Herod to ask where the child was born. The scripture never says that. It says they came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" In fact, if the reputation that King Herod had was as well known as we assume it probably was, I would think they would have done anything possible to avoid meeting King Herod. We'll talk about him in a moment. They would probably have gone out of their way to avoid him. But Matthew records that they arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him." They were probably asking anyone who would take the time to listen. After all, if they knew about this newborn king, if they knew that there was a new king born in Israel, and they had come from so far away, surely these residents of Jerusalem would know what was going on. And they must be really excited about the birth of their king. And as Pastor Deffenbaugh said in his message, he said, "I'm sure they were confused by the blank look on the faces of the people who did not seem to know what they were talking about, nor even seem to care." Well, it didn't take long for Herod to hear about these wise men. Word got back to Herod about the questions that they were asking. And he quickly brought in the Jewish teachers, the scribes, the chief priests. He brought them in to find out what they knew about this king that was supposed to be born, to find out what they knew about this Messiah that these strangers were talking about. We read in verse 3, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled." The New International Version said he was disturbed when he heard about this. I leaned over and I said to Val, he was already disturbed long before he heard this. But anyway, he was troubled and disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And he was told that the Old Testament prophecies indicated that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And that's told us in verses 5 and 6. And it was only at this point that that Herod brought in the wise men. And he asked them some questions and sent them on their way. And we'll look more at Herod's plot and his intentions in a few moments. But as they headed south to Bethlehem, the star reappeared, it says, and it led them not to a manger, but to a house, and to a child, not a baby. And when they arrived, they worshipped him, and they offered him gifts. And again, we often have the idea that these wise men had specially prepared these gifts ahead of time and brought them. Well, the scripture just indicates that they had a lot of treasures and stuff with them, and they opened up their treasures and they selected things and they gave them to the Christ child. Now, it's amazing to consider the devotion, the determination of these magi. Why would these astronomers from the East, astrologers, the word magi actually has to do with magic and sorcery and potions and so on. Sorcerers, why would these sorcerers, really, probably from Persia, be interested in a Jewish king? But they were on a mission. They would not be deterred. They persisted until they found the child, and they worshipped him and recognized him as the king. And they offered the best of their possessions as gifts to him. And that's a tremendous example for us. Well, that's a little bit about the Magi, the wise men. What about Herod? The jealous hatred of King Herod. Again, in reference to Pastor Deffenbaugh's message, he says, while we may be surprised at the response of the Magi, a quick look at history will show us that the response of Herod is not all that surprising. In fact, Herod's response to the word of the birth of the King of the Jews is quite what we might expect from such a man. This was exactly what Herod was like. At the time that Jesus was born, Herod was probably about 70 years of age. In fact, he was in failing health. He died within a year or two after Jesus was born. He had begun his reign, appointed by Caesar as king of the Jews, king over the Jewish realm of Rome, more than 30 years earlier. So what kind of man was he? On the positive side, he is remembered for his amazing architecture. He built cities and palaces that are still considered wonders of the ancient world, of the, you know, the older world. He rebuilt and enhanced the temple in Jerusalem. By the time of Jesus, it was one of the most magnificent buildings in the Middle East, the temple there in Jerusalem. He built palaces, numerous palaces, usually in fortresses because of his nature. He had fortresses everywhere. And on the negative side, though, the cunning and the cruelty of Herod is almost beyond description. He was a man who ruled with fear and paranoia. His distrust and suspicion led him to remove by force anyone or anything that threatened his rule as king. He used his power to destroy anyone who would get in his way or pose what he considered a threat to his position. The list of those he executed and had executed during his reign is long, including many of his own family. He murdered a couple of his own sons, his wife, his mother-in-law, uncles, anyone that he considered to be a threat. History records that on more than one occasion, when Herod left Judea on what might be considered a dangerous mission, he left word, command with some of his servants to murder one or more of his family, including his wife, to have them killed if he were to die. I guess the idea was that he wanted to make sure that they didn't plan for his death, because they would be... His position and his power were a matter of paranoid fear and sudden retaliation. That's the kind of man Herod was. And so, knowing what we know about Herod, his response to the suggestion that a new king was born in Judea is not really a surprise. He began a very cunning and calculated plot to put an end to this perceived threat to his throne, even though at the time he didn't have long to live. So he called in the chief priests and the scribes, from whom he learned the place of the Messiah's birth. They knew from the scriptures that it was to be in Bethlehem. He was to be born in Bethlehem. And so now Herod knew the place. He needed to know the time involved. And so at this point, and this is the first mention of any contact between Herod and the wise men, Herod summoned the wise men in verse 7 secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He wanted to know the time period. How long had it been since this star, indicating the birth of a new king, had first appeared in the sky? And having obtained his information, he sent the wise men away, hoping that they would eventually lead him directly to this king, the Christ child. Only it wasn't to worship him, it was to destroy him. And if that plan did not succeed, he had an even more sinister scheme. He would, based on the information he received from them, he would destroy all the baby boys in the entire vicinity of Bethlehem to make sure he didn't miss destroying this king. And the result was that we have the slaughter of many innocent children around Bethlehem, all because of the intense jealousy of Herod. The third response that we need to see is that of the general population of Jerusalem. And this one almost takes your breath away. We're surprised at the diligence and the eagerness of the wise men to find a foreign king in order to worship him. And we can't help but be horrified by the hatred that's displayed by King Herod, even though it's not particularly surprising given who Herod was. But the most shocking response is that of the city of Jerusalem and their incredible apathy. In verse 3, we read, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." It appears that the people in Jerusalem were just as disturbed by what was coming from the mouth of this, from these wise men. And they were just as concerned as Herod, perhaps for different reasons and had different motives, but they were concerned by the questions that were raised by the Magi. And it is amazing to us that the wise men would travel such a great distance just to find and to worship a Jewish king, a foreign king, and a baby at that. And all because of the appearance of a star. That's amazing. And yet they went to all that trouble and the time and the expense involved. And yet in contrast to that, the people of Jerusalem, including the priests, the chief priests and the scribes, the leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, could not be bothered to make the 5-mile trip from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem to check things out for themselves. That just blows my mind that they'd been looking for centuries. The Jewish people had been watching and waiting for the arrival of the promised Messiah. They studied the scriptures. They knew the prophecies. And when you think about some of the things that had happened in and around Jerusalem over the year or so leading up to this, year or two, things were not exactly secret. These events should have heightened the interest of the people in the coming of the Messiah. There was the miraculous pregnancy of Elizabeth. I mean, Elizabeth, Zechariah, her husband, was a priest in Jerusalem. And then the subsequent birth, of course, of John the Baptist. The people knew about these things. They had to be known to the people of Jerusalem. There was the announcement to the shepherds of the birth of Jesus. Luke tells us that they told everyone who would listen to them about what had happened. Luke chapter 2. And then there was the presentation of Jesus in the temple and the proclamations of Anna and Simeon. We haven't looked at them this Christmas, but in Luke chapter 2, later on, and Jesus was 8 days old, and he was brought to the temple, and he went through the circumcision ceremony, and he was presented to the Lord and to God in the temple. And you have two people there, Anna and Simeon, who made prophecies regarding this. These things were not done in secret. And so when the Magi arrived with their announcement of the appearance of a star, a special star, and the birth of the King of the Jews, the city could hardly have been caught by surprise. They were looking for their Messiah. And they should have understood these events as being significant. And again, the announcement of the Magi could not have been overlooked. The whole city of Jerusalem could not have failed to hear about their arrival. People knew. They were asking questions on the streets. They were searching for the king. And the chief priests and scribes had been summoned by King Herod. And the prophecies of the birth of the Messiah were being reviewed. And so Matthew is hardly exaggerating when he says that all of Jerusalem was troubled along with King Herod. And yet the surprising thing, and the question that comes to mind, is why were the people not flocking from Jerusalem to see this thing that the Magi spoke about, to check it out for themselves? In some ways, it's easier to understand Herod's response than that of the people of Jerusalem. He must have believed what they said. He must have believed that this baby that they were talking about was really a king, or he wouldn't have gone to so much trouble for nothing. And yet the city of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, failed to respond at all. These three responses that we've looked at here this morning, I think, are typical of the responses of mankind to the message of a Messiah. One who has come to redeem fallen man and to reign, ultimately to reign over all of the earth as king. Throughout history, there have always been those who, like the Magi, have sought out Jesus. Wise men still seek him. Often they are not those who we would have expected to find in worship and adoration, but it has always been God's way to draw some of those who to worship him. People who come from, we might say, from afar, whether that distance is geographical or racial or cultural, but God draws them and they come and they diligently seek him and they worship him and respond to him. And then there are those who, like Herod, take the claims of Jesus seriously, but for very selfish reasons, do everything they can to rid themselves of him, who reject him, who push him aside, who do whatever they can to destroy the Messiah and resist his reign. And finally, there are those, like the vast majority of people, like the majority of those who dwelt in Jerusalem, who are so apathetic to the claims of Christ that they will not bother to make the minimal effort that is required to respond to just to the fact that he has come. You know, throughout this Christmas season, there have been church services, Christmas Eve services, Christmas Day services, to worship and adore the Christ child, but there are millions and millions of people who wouldn't bother to go down the street to worship the Christ child. It's not because they didn't know about it. It's not because they don't know about Jesus, but they just don't care. They don't care enough to bother responding to him. Where do we fit in? I think that the key to our response is that we need to have our hearts prepared. God revealed himself to those whose hearts were prepared to receive him. Those wise men, they were sorcerers, astrologers, and yet there was something in their heart that prepared them to see a star that somehow in their knowledge of the scripture and the prophecies told them that this is the king. Their hearts were prepared. And that's what we need today. As the hymn writer said so eloquently, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Let's pray. Father, as we close out this Christmas season, may our hearts be prepared for all that you have for us in this coming year. Lord, may we be diligent in our search, in our approach to the Messiah, that we might come with our hearts prepared to worship, to adore, and to receive the Messiah as King in our own lives. And Lord, we look forward to the day when He will come again to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden, to restore things to the way they were intended to be, and to rule and to reign over all the earth. Lord, may we be prepared for that as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.